my wonderful friends. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God and faith, contemporary religion and the Bible. And this is the show where we look at world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I'm Pastor Gary and I'm your Drive Time host every Tuesday and Wednesday. It is so wonderful to be able to share with you on New Year's Eve 2025. Can you believe it? Another year has gone. Tonight, the fireworks are going to blow that sky apart one more time. Yeah, my friend, I cannot believe that we've made it to this time of the year. What a year it has actually been. There has been so much that's actually taken place. You look at this year, you just simply see war, you see trouble, you see turmoil in so many parts of the world, people are praying that next year is going to be a little bit better. This, of course, means that with the new year coming around tomorrow, this, of course, means New Year's resolutions. And that is exactly what we're talking about today. We're going to go one step better, however. We're going to go to the Bible and we're going to ask, does the Bible have anything to say about resolutions for a better family life? Yesterday, we looked at the whole subject of New Year's resolutions and we looked at those resolutions that the Bible recommends for a better you, for a better self, for a better physical self, because the Bible does care as much about your physical being as it does your spiritual being. But today, we're wanting to dig into the whole subject of family life and ask, could the Bible make any suggestions about positive resolutions that you might like to make to encourage a better family life? Now, co-hosting our discussion today is, in fact, Pastor David Butcher. Now, David's a really experienced pastor, and he's a church leader. And welcome to you, David.
Good afternoon, Gary. I know the new year awaits us. One more sleep. But Gary, I've got a question for you because we haven't caught up since Christmas. Now, you were telling me that you were making Christmas cakes. So you used to be a chef, is that correct, or a cook in a former life?
Well, a cook, not a chef, but a cook, yes.
Well, I expect next week that you'll be able to bring a piece of your fruitcake in for me.
Actually, if I'd realised I was going to talk about this, David, I would have brought one in today because I actually made my first batch way back at the beginning of December, and within about a week and a half, the families who I call the Weevils managed to get into my cake, and the whole cakes, two of them, two large cakes, disappeared. And so I went and remade them. And in about a week and a half, guess what?
They're gone again.
They're gone again. So
where's the spirit of Christmas?
Where's the spirit of Christmas, indeed? You know, but no, that's the way it goes. But David, tell me something. Are you going to sit up to see the fireworks?
Look, I think they're unless you're there, I think they're overrated.
Okay.
And I remember last year our family was in Melbourne for Christmas and New Year, and New Year's Eve took my daughter out to a shopping centre. She wanted to do some shopping, so we did that, and that was late night shopping on New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve.
Oh goodness.
And
you must have been in Melbourne.
Yeah, we were. And anyway, there was this particular point. She wanted to go into the city to see the fireworks, our daughter, and I said, no, it's just going to be mayhem to try and get out of the city. And so there was a particular hill outside of Melbourne that wasn't too far from where we were staying that we were told to go. Now, in the end, we didn't go there.
Yeah.
Some of us stay up late for midnight, and others, it's just you see one lot of fireworks. Perhaps they're quite similar, unless, of course, you're on Sydney Harbour.
Indeed, indeed. To me, fireworks are great if you've got family with you, particularly if you've got grandchildren with you, if you've got your children with you, that's always a tremendous experience. But once you've certainly seen your first half dozen, you start to get to the point where maybe I'll just simply allow myself to be woken up by the crashing at about midnight and wish my wife Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and turn turn over and go back to sleep again.
Yeah, and one of the things that does my head in, Gary, is people that choose to watch fireworks on television. Yeah. I mean, really. You might as well have that. When I was growing up and we had a black and white TV to begin with, you used to have that pattern. I don't know what it was that had come across the screen, like a test pattern, and then all this snow type stuff come across.
I didn't think you were old enough to remember black and white TV.
Just a bit, Gary. But colour TV had been around, but we started off with a black and white TV. But, yeah, why watch fireworks on television? If you're going to watch them, go to them.
Yeah. No, I agree totally. But no, it's one of those things that I think I understand may actually be seeing some fireworks this year. So that's a wonderful thing to actually look forward to. But look, let's come to our World Watch. And of course, this week's World Watch is again a simple one, because we're living at a time of the year when everyone is making New Year's resolutions and gym memberships. They take a huge increase apparently at this time of the year. But then in just a couple of weeks, they decrease dramatically the number of attendances at gyms. In fact, I understand that the genuine gym junkies take a little bit of a holiday this time of the year because the gyms get too crowded. But within 2 or 3 weeks, they know that the numbers are going to actually drop off. Now, what I didn't actually realize is that Strava, now, of course, Strava is the app that certainly I've used in the past when you're out doing your walk to measure your fitness and what's actually going on as far as your body is concerned. They've actually done some studies on this phenomena about New Year's resolutions, and they are prepared to predict the date that you will give up on your New Year's resolution.
When is that, Gary?
When is the date? To be honest, you're probably not going to stick, it says, to your New Year's resolution. In fact, there is a date that you are most likely to give up. Before the first month of the year has even come to an end, most people have given up on their actual commitment to themselves. And this is normally for Strava and exercise type commitment. Research conducted by Strava, the social network for athletes, has discovered that January 12 is the most fateful date of the year for New Year's resolutions. After analysing more than 31.5 million online global activities in January, Strava was able to pinpoint the date when most people report failing in their resolution. Sticking to resolutions is hard, and we all know there's a lot of talk and pressure in January about getting fitter and being healthier, Gareth Mills from Strava told The Independent. A key factor in the success is motivation, and analysing millions of activity uploads, we've been able to pinpoint the day your motivation is most likely to waver. That day is January 12. 12 days in to your New Year's resolution, Strava says you are going to give up.
12 days in out of 365 or 366 if it's a leap year. That's not really good. Now, Gary, you said you used to be on Strava.
I used to be on Strava, and I...
You didn't want to pay the fee, is that correct? So I'm on Strava, and...
Yeah, that is actually correct, David. I found another one when my introductory time ran out.
Do you have a New Year's resolution about that, Gary? I mean, Strava is an incredible app, I find, and sends you your monthly updates of what you've done, and you can follow other people and they give you kudos and vice versa. So my wife and I are walking each night and with our dog and almost every night, and I put that on Strava, and hopefully I'll get back into riding the bike again and do that. But it's really good to track your fitness, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
And your exercise, I should say.
And it does that in an amazing manner. It's just that some of us are using free apps. That's indeed right. Yes, exactly.
There's a theme happening here, Gary.
There is a theme.
You got upset about these Christmas cakes being devoured by, you said, weevils. And not a bit of a Scrooge here, are we? This is live on air on New Year's Eve. No, I should let you lead this program.
No, I really enjoy being able to give. I mean, to me, certainly my Christmas cakes, they're actually made in order to be eaten. And I certainly don't mind that occurring.
And you're a generous man, I need to say that.
I do enjoy being able to give away that type of produce. But David, look, tell me something. It is, everyone's making New Year's resolutions. Have you made one?
No, I haven't. I haven't formally made them because, yeah, I probably didn't keep my New Year's resolution. Some people I know are fairly good at it, but there's not too many people I know that ever keep them.
Well, yeah, actually, in fact, the numbers say it's between 80 and 90% of people will actually give up on their New Year's resolution within about that first 2 to 2.5 weeks.
And so why set yourself up for failure? I guess there are things in my life. You reflect on the year that's just about to close. And tomorrow is a new beginning. So it makes sense to spend time reflecting on what has been and what you'd want to do different. So I do sort of, I don't write them down per se, but I do, you know, I always want to spend more quality time with God, wanting to hear more of the voice of God, mm-hmm. and also wanting to spend more time with family, but I don't make resolutions as such.
It's this, the thing that I do appreciate about it, however, David, is the opportunity for a new start. Mm. It's a logical time of the year to simply turn around and to say, hey, look, you know, maybe I haven't been achieving quite as well as what I should have been achieving in a certain part of my life. Perhaps it might be my finance. You know, I haven't been putting a sufficient money aside. Perhaps I, you know, something in my physical area, something in my my family, perhaps. But, you know, David, is it only, whole Christian experience is based around a thing called the new birth, or if you like, a new start. Do you think this is the only date in the year that we can actually have this new start?
No, the new start can happen and should happen every day. Mm-hmm. Lamentations 3:23, I think, says, your mercies are new and afresh every morning.
Yeah.
So the Christian, the Bible talks about a new birth, a new start, if you like.
Yeah.
That should almost be a new birth every day, a new commitment to God every day.
Yeah.
And then I'll go further with that, Gary. You know, the Bible talks about a seventh day Sabbath. Actually, not about a, it talks about the seventh day Sabbath, a day that God has given all of humanity, not any one particular race or denomination or faith. He's given it to all humanity to stop. And when we stop, what do? We reflect.
Yeah.
When we stop, it's there, it's been given to us to stop, to reflect and to worship God and think about His graciousness, His goodness and what He's done for us. Yeah. So, you know, we are Seventh-day Adventists and I guess one of the blessings that we can experience, as Seventh-day Adventists is the seventh-day Sabbath, because it helps us reorientate our lives to let us know that we are not in control of our own ship. Mm. There is God here that is in control of everything, that we can stop on Friday night sunset, even though our work is not
stop
done,
and think.
But stop as if it is done and rest in the graciousness and in the works of God rather than always being on this wheel that mice
treadmill.
Run on, the treadmill of life, thinking that we've got to keep going and keep going and keep going. We can rest in Jesus Christ. So, yes, we should stop and reflect and refresh by asking God into our life every day and asking for Him to change us in the areas that we want to see change.
You know, David, one of the things that I suppose concerns me about the New Year's resolutions is that after 2 weeks when people finally do fail, so often it's, I throw in the towel with what is often a very good resolution in whether it be physical, whether it be family, whether it be financial, whatever it is, they throw the towel in and that's the last they see of the resolution because course, they have failed. You know, David, many years ago, when I first started ministry, ministers of my denomination in those days, we were actually taught how to run a program that used to be entitled the 5-Day Plan to Quit Smoking.
Yes.
And everybody in those days, there were so many smokers in Australia, and certainly in those days, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was one of the forerunners in running the Quit Now program to stop smoking. And in those days, I was actually trained. I think I could probably still run it if I had to. It hasn't been run for many, many years, but certainly the training was provided to every Adventist pastor. But one of the things that was impressed on us is this decision not to smoke. And we were taught to train people to say, "I choose not to smoke." Now, why were those words actually so important? They were so important because what we actually recognize that is that at some point, at least some percentage of the people who were coming along to the 5-day plan to quit smoking might regress and might actually have a cigarette. But by making a statement saying, "I choose not to smoke," it meant that they could actually pick themselves up again and they could move on from that point to a better life. Now, you know, David, one of the things that I'm so conscious of about the New Year's resolutions is that many people actually do make excellent resolutions. It might be to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Good resolution. Yep. It might be to become fitter. Excellent resolution. It might be in the financial area, vitally important in their life. It might be something to do with the family. These are all areas that people make New Year's resolutions in. But the trouble is, when they get to January 12, what happens? Well, they've regressed.
And they throw their hands up in the air in despair.
In despair. And as a result, the whole thing just falls in a heap. Whereas certainly what we were trained to tell people who wanted to stop smoking was, "I choose not to smoke." Now, okay, if they do regress on January 12, that's fine. Pick yourself up again on January 13 and keep going.
Because we're imperfect creatures, aren't we? Imperfect human beings that do fall over, do stumble.
Exactly, exactly.
Gary, just briefly, I've come across the resolutions of Jonathan Edwards. He was a powerful preacher in the 1700s. He was born in 1703 and had wrote a number of books. I don't agree with all of his theology. Yes, some of it's dastardly with what he talks about the fires of hell. But I came across this. He wrote 65 resolutions. And he would repeat these and try to follow these, and he would read the 65 each week. I just want to share some with you. Number 6, resolve to live with all my might while I do live. Number 13, resolve to be endeavoring to find out fit objects of charity and liberality. So remember, this is 300 years ago. Number 37, resolve to inquire every night as I'm going to bed wherein I have been negligent, what sin I have committed, and wherein I have denied myself, also at the end of every week, month, and year. Wow. So this is in 1722 he wrote this. Number 14, with relationships, resolve never to do anything out of revenge. It's a good one, isn't it? Mm. So I still want those cakes, Gary. Number 12, resolved, if I take delight in it as a gratification of pride or vanity or any other such account, immediately to throw it off.
Jesus Christ.
And this is important. I'll give you one last one, Gary. This is on the Lord's Day. So, yeah, you know, it's Sunday, and that's what he saw as the Sabbath, God's Sabbath, but it's a Lord's Day. Number 38, resolve never to speak anything that is ridiculous, sportive, or matter of laughter on the Lord's Day. So he's trying to keep these 65 resolutions going in his head. Now, many of them are good resolutions, as you're saying.
Yeah.
But can you imagine trying to keep 65?
We would advise you not to have 65 resolutions. One or two is probably sufficient. But folks, look, let's come to some music. This is Wendell Kinborough, and he's singing, "Behold, I'm Making All Things New." And indeed, that's exactly what is occurring this brand new year. We're about to start a brand new year. Please enjoy Wendell Kinborough.
Thank you. saw the heavens open, for the former things were past. And I heard my Savior singing, I have come for you at last. I will wipe away death's sorrow, you will no more cry or grieve. To the thirsty I give healing, from the spring of life come drink. For behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, every word is true. Tell the world what I came to do. I am making all things new. And I saw God's holy city, New Jerusalem, descend. A voice announced with splendor, I will dwell with you, my friend. I will be your God forever. You will never leave my side. You were always my beloved. Now at last you'll be my bride. This down, every word is true. Tell the world what I came to do. I am making all things new. We will no more fear the darkness, and the night will be like day. For the Lamb in all his beauty, like a torch will light our way. And the gates of that great city, never close to those who come. Every nation brings its glory to our new creation home. For behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, every word is true. Tell the world what I came to do. I am making all things new. I am making all things new.
And that was Wendell Kimbrough, and he was singing, I'm Making All Things New, and this is New Year's Eve. And indeed, we're about to start a brand new year. And who knows what this year is going to bring. I hope it's certainly be better than this past year, but somehow from reading my scriptures, I'm not totally sure that's actually going to be the case. But folks, it is great to be able to be back with you again on this very significant evening. Now look, folks, we do have a really beaut giveaway book for you. This book is entitled Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. This has been written by Pastor Robbie Bergen. Now, you would know Robbie Bergen from his extensive sharing on Faith FM. It's a really beaut little book. Amongst the world, in the world in which we are living, there is nothing less than a storm that is both brewing and occurring. And as I look at this, Robbie is presenting a way to find peace. So many are actually wanting to find, are searching elusively for peace, and yet it's within the Word of God that you can actually find the peace that you can't find anywhere else. Now, look, guys, if you would like this particular book, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 0488 80811 04 888 80811. And the code is SA356. SA for South Australia, 356. Just five digits in a row. No gap between the SA and the 356. Otherwise, our LGPO robot, he hasn't got a clue what you're talking about if you do that. So SA356. Just text that, to, 0488 80811, and our robot will come back to you. Just ask you just a few questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. Please be aware, however, that this is the holiday season. A number of our distributors are on holidays. This may take just a little bit longer than normal to actually come to you. Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, 0488 80811, and the code is SA for South Australia, 356, just five digits in a row. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary, and our co-host today is Pastor David Butcher, and this week we're in the countdown to the new year. Today is New Year's Eve. Yesterday, we looked at the opportunity that the new year presents for a new physical life. We looked at the resolutions people are taking to improve their physical capability. But today, we want to ask, does the Bible have anything to say about family life? Is there any way that the Bible might encourage us, might help us to understand how? Is there any resolutions perhaps that you might like to take to improve your family life? So often this area is overlooked when the whole issue of resolutions is being spoken about. So often it's physical, so often it's weight, so often it's diet, so often it's financial. But what about the family? Let's not forget about the importance of family. David, can you just help us out on this whole subject? What is it? You know, are there any? Does the Bible say anything that might help us establish some resolutions, some quality resolutions that would improve our family in the new year?
It certainly does. There's a whole range of teachings and verses that highlight the importance of family and I guess how to ensure that is healthy. And I guess, Gary, as we begin this, the night before New Year's, I want to suggest that God gave some incredible gifts to humanity. In the Garden of Eden, before sin had entered this planet, before our first parents had sinned, God gave gifts. He gave the gift of marriage with Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1. He gave the gift of the Sabbath. The Sabbath reminds us, the seventh-day Sabbath, it reminds us that we are tied to God, that He is the creator of everything, and that He wants us to rest in Him and to worship Him and I guess hold each other in high regard. But also in that first chapter of Genesis, we read this. It says this in verse 27 and 28 of Genesis chapter 1. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. This gives us the beginning parents, male and female. Mm-hmm. Then God blessed them, verse 28, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So verse 28 begins by saying, God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth." In other words, God brings man and woman together.
Mm-hmm.
We are told in Matthew and also in chapter 2 that they become one. A father will leave his parents and join his wife, and the two will become one flesh. There is a marriage that occurs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then God says after the marriage, once they're married, He says, be fruitful and multiply. In mm-hmm. other words, start a family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that in the world in which we live, not everyone wants a family. It could be trauma, could be a whole range of different mm-hmm. valid reasons. And some people that may desperately want a family, unfortunately and sadly, may not get to have one.
Mm.
We live in a very imperfect world all sorts of things happen. But God essentially gives us this gift of the family.
Yeah. Yeah.
And very interesting to note that Psalm 127 verse 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. And Gary, I don't know about you, but parenting is perhaps one of the most challenging things that exists. Is that, am I the only one that would think
No, I think across the board, you know, there's not too many people that I know of. The only people who don't believe that it's probably the most challenging thing that exists are people who have never been parents. They're probably the only ones that I can think of. Certainly every parent that I've been aware of at some point has been left scratching their head and saying, hey, I don't quite get what's happening right now.
Yeah, and I remember before my wife and I had children, we would care for some children, and I remember saying myself and my wife, well, we would never do this when we're parents. Yeah, let me tell you, those words are hard to swallow later on, aren't they? So parenting is, and a child is a blessing from God.
Mm.
The heritage of the Lord.
And this is the beautiful thing that the scriptures do actually point out. You know, it puts a huge status on our children, because our children aren't just my children. They're actually sons and daughters of the invisible God.
That's a really good point. Keep going.
And you know, when I came to realize that, I understood that these children have actually been given to me as a beautiful gift. You know, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when he does appear, we'll be like him. But we are called sons and daughters of the invisible God. If you go to Peter's epistle, you find he talks about us being kings, heirs, and ambassadors. Mm. You know, men and women, male and female, have been given a status by God. And that's our children. This is the status that my children have actually been given by God. This is why he regarded humanity as so important, that he was prepared to come and die for our eternal existence.
Gary, I really liked what you said. It's almost like, you actually did say that children are really a gift from God.
Yes.
And I guess they're on loan to us for a period of time. And it makes me remember the story of Samuel in the Bible. And I'm just trying to look it up on the spot as we go.
Yeah.
But Samuel was essentially, his mum, when she managed to have a child, and she couldn't, but when she did manage to have a child, she says he's a gift from God.
Yes.
And she actually gives him back to God, if you like. She asked God, she pled for God for a child, she got one, she took him through to weaning him, and then she took him back to the temple to serve in the temple, because she recognized that they're a gift from God. And this is a critical thing.
Yeah.
You know, as parents, we fail.
Yeah.
We do our best, but we fail.
Yeah.
But to actually keep in front of our mind's eye that they're actually a gift from God, they're a responsibility. And so parenting is not a game. It's an awesome responsibility, but parenting also gives us an insight into the mind of God.
Yeah. And so often, you know, David, when we're actually taking New Year's resolutions, and I know that a lot of them aren't actually kept for a super long length of time, but so often they're actually all resolutions that concern me. They concern, you know, my physical health. They concern me losing weight. Mm. They concern my coming into a better financial position. You know, they're basically concerning me.
So me-focused.
Me-focused resolutions. Whereas what I would suggest is some of the most powerful resolutions are actually resolutions that I can make that actually positively impact my family.
Mm. And they're not necessarily easy things either to keep. And Gary, as we start this sort of survey through scripture and the importance of family and children and worship and these sorts of things, teaching the ways of God, I guess I just want to put it out there. I've heard this said, it sits uncomfortable with me, so it may not be correct, and I'm happy for you to challenge it. But Revelation chapter 12, verse 4 and onwards talks about a war in heaven, and verses 7 to 9. And it says, the dragon drew a third of the stars of heaven with him. In chapter 1, we are told that the stars represent angels or are angels. In other words, God lost a third of his own family due to the lies and the misrepresentation that Lucifer, a guardian cherub, made against the Creator God. So God, in fact, lost a third of his family. And now that may not be, I don't know how that sits with you, Gary, that sort of.
Look, I think this actually points out that what the reality we're actually facing, that just as humanity has been damaged by the, if you like, by a great battle against sin, God has also himself been damaged dare I say it, precisely the same way. He actually lost his son. You know, we have Jesus in Gethsemane crying out, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He finishes up by praying, "Not my will, but yours be done." This is a battle that's actually being fought. And, you know,
it's a battle of love, but keep going.
It's a battle of love. But so often within a war, you can actually lose battles. And that is actually what is occurring in the lives of even many Christian people today. There are battles which have been lost. And yet, the exciting thing is that Christ says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In other words, okay, we are part of a war. You may have fought some battles. You may even have lost a few battles, but I want to give you the opportunity for a new start.
And this is what you were saying about the New Year's resolutions, where people just give up. The idea is to get back up again and return to God. And Gary, the other thing before we get into this in a deeper way is the story of the Bible, by and large, it's a warts and all story of humanity battling with the sin problem. And when God is not center of their lives, or when they walk from God or neglect God, we see the consequences. So there are multitudes of families throughout Scripture that are not the perfect family.
In fact, I'm not sure that if you go through the Scriptures, you can actually find the perfect family. You can find individuals who certainly have stood for God, though the heavens fall. You can certainly find individuals that might be true for. But, you know, as I look at the families, I mean, even Abraham.
Yes.
You
look at Manoah, Samson's parents and his wife.
All of these people, the families themselves are imperfect. And yet, what you find is that constantly they are coming back into covenant with the Lord God Almighty.
And this is critical.
And when they come back into covenant, what they are doing is having a new start. Now, this is the start of a brand new year. This is the time to actually do a reset and to say, hey, look, perhaps there are things right now that I'm dealing with that in this new year, I want a covenant with the Lord God on. Yes, I choose not to smoke. Yes, if you fall, then come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come for repentance. But that is not a sign that you should be throwing in the towel. Rather, pick up the resolution where you left off and continue.
And when it comes to family, it's even more important, is it? You know,
it is.
Paul says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in heavenly places. In other words, the enemy, just like Lucifer in heaven, who became Satan, just like Satan drew a third of the angels with him to cause pain in God's heart, he does the same today to God by attacking families. Indeed. So he attacks the things that came out in a perfect world. He attacks the seventh-day Sabbath that was given in a perfect Eden. He attacks marriage, which was given in a perfect world before sin, and he attacks the family.
Yeah, yeah. And I might add, the other thing that was given in Eden was the gift of freedom. And he's also attacking that. Every gift that God gave in the Garden of Eden to humanity is being attacked right now in the world in which we are living. And if ever there's a time when we need to be walking hand in hand with the Lord God, I suggest it is actually right now.
Good focus for the start of 2026.
Indeed. But look, let's come to some music because we will come back after this song. Because, Dave, what I'd like to ask you is that given this reality, what resolutions would you recommend that possibly might improve family life? I'd love to have you respond to that after our break. Let's come to Evie and Pelly Carlson, and this is Nehemiah's Prayer. A beautiful song. Please enjoy this song. Evie and Pelle Carlson, and they were singing Nehemiah's Prayer. What a beautiful beautiful song. What a wonderful way to approach the new year. And sometime this evening, why don't you spend some time in prayer, just committing this brand new year to the direction of our Lord and our Saviour. My friends, look, we've got a really beautiful book we're giving away today. This book's entitled Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. Now, this is written by Pastor Robbie Bergen, one of our regular presenters right here on Faith FM. He's talking about the day and age which we are living right now and how you can find peace. Are you struggling in some way? Have you got questions that are unanswered? Do you want to find peace? Do you know, that is exactly what the Word of God does actually promise right now. Finding Peace Amidst the Storm by Robbie Bergen. If you would like your own copy of this book, all you need to do is to text us. Now, our studio text number is 0488 808 11, and the code is SA356. That's five digits in a row, SA356, and text that to 0488 80811, and that'll go through to our robot. And our robot will come back to you, ask you just a few questions so that we can get this book to you in the fastest way possible. You will love this little book. 0488 80811, and that code again is SA356. Now, my friends, you are listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Pastor Gary, and also being co-hosted by Pastor David Butcher. And this week, we are in the countdown in the new year, and tonight is New Year's Eve. Tonight, your world is going to be blown apart by the fireworks. You will enjoy those fireworks. But please don't forget, in the brand new year, you're probably going to make a few resolutions. And this week, we've been talking about those resolutions that might be approved in the Word of God. And yesterday we were looking at physical resolutions and how important those actually are. We also looked at some of the ways you can maintain those resolutions. Today we've been talking about the family, and we've been asking, is it worth actually making some resolutions that might benefit the entire family? David, really appreciate again what it is that you've been saying. I love the way that you've actually put this whole thing together, as far as God creating, the importance of humanity, the value of the family, the value of the individual to our Lord and Savior. But David, so many resolutions that people make are in fact very individualistic. They concern me and myself and my concerns. Whereas what we're suggesting here is that God has actually created this thing called the family unit. Are there any resolutions that I could make that might improve my family life?
Look, there are, Gary, and you and I both have had children, and you look back and you sometimes think there are some things, boy, I wish I had that time over again. Hopefully I'm not the only one, Gary, that thinks that, where I could have done this different or that different. And parenting is one of the hardest things that exists. Maybe sometimes being the child of a parent can be one of the hardest things that exists. So, yeah, we learn, we pray, and some of the best things we can do is to have our own strong personal walk with God.
Yeah.
The other one, one of the other things I'd like to say is Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. So the Bible, and this is Solomon, telling us that there is a blessing to train and to educate your children in the ways of God. Now, Gary, I'm not sure you're turning your scriptures there. Are you turning to Deuteronomy chapter 6?
Yeah, I am, David, because I think that this is an incredibly powerful passage. In fact, there are many people who, it's well known that this is one of the earliest passages of the scripture that the young Jewish child would actually learn. And of course, it concerns this whole subject of family. Now, just listen to this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, he is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's exactly the verse that Christ quoted to the Pharisees when he was asked. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You will bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, this is the commands or the expectations of the Lord God. He is saying to parents that what I want you to do is I want you to teach them intentionally to your children.
This is key. This is one of the best things that you can do. You know, Gary, we've got a dog. She's almost three.
Yeah.
And I've been told that once she hits three, she's probably unteachable.
Yeah.
And we've taught some things to our dog very, very well. Mm. And some other things I'm just thinking, if only we had.
Yes.
And so what we find here, and not talking about dogs, but in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the importance of parents to keep before their children the words and the works and the love of God on a daily basis.
This is actually so important. But the problem I've got, David, is how exactly do I actually do that? Like, as a parent, I mean, okay, I want to, if you like, there you're talking modeling. I want to model this to my children. I mean, for example, for the children to be able to see the parent praying is probably a vitally important aspect of life. But is there anything else that how do I teach the biblical truth to children?
So there are numerous ways. I think one of the most important ways is what we would call spending time with our children, intentional time, in the Word of God and spiritual things in the morning and the evening. The psalmist actually says, morning, noon and night do I pray. So it's good to begin the day with God and it's good to end the day with God. And so starting a practice with young children, a young family is important. Now they might be crying or whatever it might be. So doesn't have to be long. It can be very short. It can be playing a song or singing a song, working on a puzzle, read a story. Read something from the Bible, and as they get older, you fill that out more and you adapt it for their age. And really, this is what Deuteronomy 6 is saying. It's saying to teach these things to your children. So having a dedicated time, maybe it's before the family, the parents or a parent goes off to work first thing in the morning. Sometimes, and I know families that have done this, it might be while the mum or the dad or whoever it is taking the children to school and they're singing a song or they're playing something in the car on scripture. Now, far better if it can be done sitting down together in dedicated, focused time. But use whatever time you have. And I think this is really important to get into a practice of that.
You know, David, this is a really beautiful thing. A lot of people don't realise how beautiful this is because, I mean, right now here in certainly South Australia, just very recently we had come into place the social media ban for children under 16.
And national too.
It's national, okay. That's national. But that has just come into place. Now, that means that, okay, there's a refocus of certain emphasis in certain areas. And, you know, one of the things that I'm so conscious of is that what the scriptures seem to be saying to me here is that to be intentional in your teaching of your children. I know with my children, probably one of the most beautiful things I remember when our children were younger was a thing that we actually called it family worship, and we used to actually have it in the evening because the morning for us tended to get to be incredibly hectic, and we found it very challenging. But in the evening was the time when we certainly found it easiest, and just to be able to, after dinner particularly, to be able to sit down before everyone goes about doing whatever else they're going to be doing in the evening, to be able to just sit down together, and certainly that was a time when you could say, how's your day been? How's your week been? Whatever the situation was. How has it gone today? And just to be able to get people to actually share.
And converse
about how the day has actually gone. And then to read something, or when the children were younger, certainly to be able to sing a children's scripture song.
And this is a key thing, Gary. Yeah. Maybe finish that and then keep going.
No, go on, fill in.
Yeah, the Bible says where is it? It's Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I think singing is really powerful.
Yeah.
Putting scripture to song is even better. We actually, when something is to lyrics or to music, we actually, the human mind generally can memorize that so much more. And when our kids were young, we had a speaker come out from America to a church convention when I was in Victoria, and he was a great speaker, and he had CDs where people, you could buy them, and it was called, in fact, I'll give people a website, it's called Trilogy Scripture Songs, Trilogy Scripture Songs. And the name is Derek Morris, and Bodil Morris, and she was his wife, was the one that created these. Mm. And my kids would listen to these in the car, and it's using every minute you can, correct? Mm. As they get older, they make their own decisions, and you still help guide them. But when they're young, you know, train up a child when they're young. And our kids would sing those songs and they memorize them because they were to music.
Mm.
The other one is, in our family worship, as our kids got older, we would take a promise, a Bible promise. It was, you can buy them in Christian bookshops rolled up, and you'd pull it out and you'd talk about it and you'd read it. And we would also, in family worship, what we do is, what are we thankful for today? What do we want to thank God for? Yeah. What do we want to pray for? And we'd have a prayer jar and also a thank you jar where we'd put things in to be thankful and grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. There are so many aspects of this time that we spend together. And look, sometimes people think, oh, this has to be an hour long. This is the sort of thing that to me, rarely for us was it more than 15 minutes.
Yes.
It was the type, it was short, it was to the point. It was before the family disappeared in the evening to do homework or to do whatever else that they were certainly planning on doing. But you know, in those times you got an opportunity to converse. Certainly as a family, plan to update each other on what was actually taking place, to spend some time, just a short reading, from the Word of God, and significantly to have prayer together. All these things coming together, it built a communication that I believe that certainly our family still has today.
And you're building something. Whether our children choose their own journey in life or not, those memories are etched in their mind. I want to leave our people with a story, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Joshua chapter 4. Joshua is the leader of God's people. He takes them across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And when they cross the river, one person from each of the 12 tribes has to pick up a big stone, carry it out, and they build a pillar, a monument. Mm-hmm. The purpose of that, Joshua said, is so that they can remind their children of what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more we do that when our children are younger, the better. You know, this afternoon I popped home and my son's finished uni, and there he had out this morning when I left, he had the Bible. He'd been out reading the Bible in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so trying to invest while they're young is critical.
Yeah.
But even if you can't do that, keep praying for your children because God loves them more than you.
Amen. Amen. David, thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. It is time that we finish. Folks, our time is up for today. Thank you so much for joining Pastor Gary and Pastor David on Drive Time. Big Q&A tomorrow. Please join us again when Pastor Caden and Lindy Sperring will be presenting a very special New Year's program. You'll love this little program. Really look forward to your joining us again. But until then, please remember, Christ said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the peace that the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. May our God abundantly bless you.